This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Around the world, there are multiplied thousands of Christians that are persecuted for their faith. And Open Doors are an organisation that work very closely trying to support those Christians through those experiences of persecution. Mike Gore is their CEO, and ahead of Easter, I asked him where suffering fits in to the life of the believer. And while here in Australia and some Western countries, we may associate the Easter eggs, the celebration, the long weekend with the Easter weekend, what does it look like for those living in countries where persecution can be rife?
It still is a celebration. I think that's one of the things that we need to be very clear with. But the difference being that for us, a celebration is often met with feelings of euphoria. There's very rarely any feelings of fear. But within the persecuted church law, Easter is the point of difference for faith. Now, in countries where faith is conflicted, whether it's with other religions or governments or regimes, the point of difference to the Christian faith is that Jesus overcame death. And so for us, it's a huge celebration. But in these countries, it's an incredibly offensive kind of time of the year. And so for Christians who celebrate in many countries around the world, it's sweet and sour. It's a time of great celebration and a time of immense fear because of the response that they might get from people of other faith backgrounds or governments or regimes.
And it seems like in the last few years, there's been an attack every single year on some church around the world at Easter time. Even just on Palm Sunday, we saw the attack on the church in Indonesia. What do you think the purpose is of those kinds of attacks, specifically at this Easter time?
It's because, again, Easter, from any other faith standpoint, is quite an antagonistic celebration because interrupting Jesus in the face of, I guess, whatever your value and belief structure is. And so that's the point of the attack. They know it's a time of celebration, but it's also a time of great offense to other people. And therefore, when people are offended, they respond in a variety of ways. And persecution, it's not always violent. It can be nonviolent. And so restrictions increase on people and it becomes very difficult for them.
And we've heard you say in the past at Open Doors that persecution is kind of part and parcel of the Christian experience. And yes, it's different what persecution looks like in a Western culture to what it looks like in some others. But you've always associated persecution with this idea of spiritual growth and actually is a really positive thing. When we look at communities like those affected in Indonesia just now or others that have experienced persecution in the past, what do you think the long-term impact is on church growth in some of those regions?
Well, the reality is that it will push some people towards Jesus and, to be honest, it pushes some away from him. I think often the church growth question, we often want to hear answered with a radical increase of numbers or a booming gospel. Actually, the vast difference in the persecuted church is it's about courage. And I think that's the key. I mean, one of the greatest elements in the Western church that I think we need to focus on is discipleship. It's not evangelism, because it's not about the success measured by numbers. It's actually about courage and closeness to Christ. And so in the persecuted church, what it often breeds, this kind of persecution, whether it's violent or nonviolent, is that it breeds a new sense of courage, a renewed sense of hope. I remember one Christian in Iran said to me, had I not been persecuted, the gospel would never have reached this prison. Laura, that's an incredibly powerful statement, because on one side of it, we see it and go, yeah, but you're in prison. And the other side, he's saying, yeah, but had I not been persecuted, the gospel would never have become preached in this place. And so it's one of those things. It's about courage as opposed to about numbers or increase.
When you hear about suffering, I think people have two kind of responses. One is to want to fix it and dive in and stop the suffering. And the other is to, in that instance, as you've shared, appreciate the suffering and see the purpose in it. What do you think the relationship is between suffering or pain, persecution, and the Christian experience?
I think often in Western nations, we would look at suffering as in some ways a betrayal of the promises of God, but actually it's the essence of the gospel. And I think for our suffering, it is something that we want to alleviate. We want to reduce the stress and the pressure of it. And to be very clear, Open Doors, as you said before, we would say that persecution is the consequence of successful Christianity, but it doesn't mean that we sort of roll over and say, and you should just take it. What we want to do is we want to give people the strength to stand in the face of it, to endure for Christ. Because what we're saying is breaches, any human rights are breached. It is not acceptable. It is not okay. But we also know that it is part and parcel of a life devoted to Christ. So what we want to do as an organization is say, how can we help these people? How can we alleviate their suffering, knowing that we can't end it? But we do want to help families. We want to help men, women, children remain close to Jesus despite the intense pressure they face when following him.
It is a big distinction, taking away the suffering versus helping people stand up through that suffering. And of course, leading into Easter, Christians are looking at one of the times of greatest suffering in Jesus' life. And of course, yes, the greatest celebration and breakthrough as well. What do you think we can learn from Jesus in how he handled suffering and how we kind of model that or take from his example in our own lives?
That's a great question. I think, well, what I would say is that the walk to Calvary, in so many ways, it is a beautiful parallel of the Christian life. In many ways, Jesus' walk to Calvary, every single step, it was painful, but it was purposeful. It was heartbreaking for those around, but it was also hope-filled. And then every step was, in some ways, life-ending, but in so many ways, life-giving. And I think that's the beautiful juxtaposition of the persecuted church, the parallel to Easter. And I think for us, we talk about the passion of the Christ, but in the Western church lore, in so many ways, passion is probably one of the most abused words in our vocabulary, because what we don't realize is that passion finds its origin in the Latin word for suffering. So passion is less about your exuberance or excitement for something, and more accurately, your willingness to suffer for something you love. And so that makes Jesus' sacrifice, in so many ways, far more poignant and poetic. It was never about his excitement for us. It was always about his willingness to suffer for something or someone he loved. And so that's where I think the power of Easter, it comes into it.
Mike Gore, the CEO of Open Doors Australia and New Zealand. You can find out more about their One With Them Easter campaign, ways that you can pray for and financially support the persecuted church globally. Head to opendoors.org.au.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.